The island of Devil's Cove lay between the mainland and the barrier islands on North Carolina's Outer Banks, smack in the middle of four ocean channels. Albemarle Sound was to the north. Roanoke Sound flowed to the east. Croatan Sound was on the west side of the island. And to the south was the inlet of Pamlico Sound. It was connected to the mainland with a single swing bridge. A ferry carted people and their cars back and forth. It wasn't the easiest of the islands to get to, but it was perhaps the most special. Colorful beach houses overlooked the water. A protected cove was a favorite spot for kayaking and swimming. The quaint town welcomed tourists, but generations of families called Devil's Cove home. The island drew fishermen, treasure hunters who chartered boats to explore the graveyard of the Atlantic, and sun worshippers. And now, Pippin and Grey Hawthorne, siblings born 73 seconds apart, were back after being gone for 20 years. They stood on the sidewalk in front of a decrepit-looking house that sported a combination of Cape Cod and old southern coastal architecture, complete with a million paned windows, a screened porch on the left side of the house, a wide sitting porch, and a lookout at the top of the structure with a view straight to the harbor. A widow's walk, Pippin thought, where a wife could keep watch as she waited for her husband to return from sea. Behind it was Roanoke Sound, Bodie Island with its lighthouse, and beyond that, the Atlantic. The house was so much bigger than Pippin remembered, and she remembered it as huge. In its heyday, it had to have been a spectacular house. Now it sat neglected, longing for fresh paint, new shutters, and some tender, loving care. A shiver passed over Pippin, and her hand moved to her neck. She looked up at the widow's walk. Had her mother stood up there, staring towards the horizon while she waited for Leo to come home to her? Pippin let the thought pass. She was hypnotized by the overgrown property as much as by the house itself, although both were in dire need of repair and upkeep. Her gaze skittered over the lawn that was little more than a map of weeds. Over the walkway, leading to the wraparound porch, more weeds grew between the red bricks. Over the flower beds that had probably once bloomed with hydrangeas, hyacinth, daisies, and who knew what other plants, but which was now filled with an abundance of yet more weeds. For a moment, she closed her eyes and envisioned what the property could look like. In her mind's eye, she saw it blooming with a perennial garden, annuals tucked here and there for added color and variety. The massive overgrowth of pampas grass behind their father's dry-docked fishing boat could be cleared out and replaced with an enclosed vegetable garden. Gray could renovate the massive house, bringing it back to habitable. Because right now, from the looks of it, it certainly wasn't. Gray looked at her with eyebrows raised and chin lowered. "We can't keep it." She opened her eyes again and gave him a side glance.
"We could."
He shook his head.
"We can't."
"Oh, but we could."
Gray ran a hand over his face, ending by rubbing the stubble that had recently turned into a beard. Although his hair was chestnut, his Irish came out through the iridescent orange hairs peppered throughout.